Good morning and welcome to the service of morning prayer at Christ Church Anglican on the second Sunday of Easter, April 19th, 2020. This Sunday, Bishop Mark will be offering our homily, which is good news for many of you, I'm sure. But otherwise, we'll have a normal service, if you consider this normal. And so with that said, let us pray. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now let us humbly confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's name be praised.
Alleluia, the Lord is risen indeed.
O come, let us adore him. Alleluia.
We continue with the Jubilate. O be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be assured that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and speak good of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures from generation to generation. Our psalm appointed for this morning is a portion of Psalm 111, which we will say in unison. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, and among the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out by all who have pleasure in them. His work is worthy to be praised and held in honor, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his marvelous works to be had in remembrance. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He has given food to those who fear him. He shall ever be mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are true. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and equity. He sends redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who live accordingly. His praise endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out the raven, and it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked and saw that the face on the ground was drying. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God said to Noah, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring over the earth, clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy the all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will set it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Pascha Nostrum. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia. Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by a man came death, By a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Alleluia.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll now say together the Magna et Mirabilia. O ruler of the universe, Lord God, great deeds are they that you have done, surpassing human understanding. Your ways are ways of righteousness and truth, O King of all the ages. Who can fail to do you homage, Lord, and sing the praises of your name? For you only are the Holy One. All nations will draw near and fall down before you, because your just and holy works have been revealed. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, CCA. This is Mark Zimmerman, and I'm joining you electronically. Please know that you are in my hearts during this time of this pandemic, and Cindy and I long to be with you and join you shortly. We hope that this lifts and we'll be able to be with you soon. This morning I'm preaching here on the second Sunday after Easter, and I'm going to talk about remembering. One of the worst sins a husband can commit is to forget the date of one's wedding anniversary. You see, it's not just forgetting a date, it's to fail to remember a promise. Promises are funny things. They can just be a piece of paper, or they can be the strongest of things, strongest of foundations upon which one can build an entire life. A promise is someone's word. The strength of someone's word is rooted in the strength of their character. Isaiah points out our problem. All people are like grass. All human faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Isaiah 40. I've always substituted the word scripture for word of the Lord in this passage, but lately I've come to see that one might better substitute the word promises for word of the Lord. The promises of God will stand forever because they are rooted in God's character, which is eternal and unchangeable. The promises of men are too often like the grass because our character is so changeable and blows everywhere like the wind. Our faithfulness is like the flowers of the field, beautiful in the moment, but soon wilted and forgotten. So many of our marriages fail because so many of us forget the promises that we made. In the name of God, I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we're parted by death, according to God's holy word. This is my solemn vow. Beautiful words. An incredible promise that one can build a life on, a family on. Words rooted in God's holy word from Genesis to Revelation, and yet words that must be supported by our character. Words we must not forget. Words we must remember. The lessons today on this first Sunday after Easter are about remembering. They focus on God remembering his promises made to us using the biblical word covenant. The challenge is not just for God to remember his covenants, but for us to remember them also. There are two possible readings for the first lesson on the Sunday after Easter. In the second chapter of Acts, we're reminded of the covenant with David, in which God swore with an oath to David that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne forever. The nation of Israel was broken at the time of the exile to Babylon because in their eyes the line of David had been broken. They were lost because they felt God had forgotten his promise to keep his promise to David. They refused to see how they had broken the covenant with God and had committed adultery by chasing after other gods. Their failure to remember their promises did not mean that God had broken his. For in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman who just happened to be a descendant of David. God raised him from the dead and seated him on his throne at his right hand. A descendant of David now sits on the throne forever. God keeps his promises. The second passage that can be read for our first reading today is taken from the book of Genesis. It's the story of God's covenant with Noah. Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. We tend to look at the flood and only see the wrath of God, but we would do better to see the flood as a product of his justice. The necessity of the flood becomes pretty clear upon reading, "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. How far we had fallen. And yet in his grace, God gave humanity another chance by preserving Noah and his family in the ark. God hung his bow in the heavens. When my bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between myself and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." The psalm for today is Psalm 111. It has traditionally been read after Easter. It's one of the Alleluia psalms and sings of the greatness of God's works. Chief among those works is God's remembrance of his covenants, as seen in verses 4 and 5. He has made his marvelous works to be had in remembrance. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's given food to those who fear him, and he shall ever be mindful of his covenant. There's no better place to see the grace and mercy of God than in the covenant he made with Abraham. Because of Abraham's trust in the character of God, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that he shall possess a promised land and that it should be filled with his descendants. It's easy to hear the similarity of this covenant to the promise that God also made to David. When covenants were made in the time of Abraham, they were done by cutting a deal. Actually, animals were literally split right down the middle, and the halves of the animals were placed on either side of a path. The individuals enacted the covenant by holding hands and passing between the slain animals. The most needy or the weakest of the individuals would then say, "May I become as these animals if I break the terms of this covenant?" It was a vivid way of remembering one's promise. The great mystery of God's covenant with Abraham was that in Genesis chapter 15, we see Abraham fall asleep. God went down the path of the slain animals all by himself. In essence, God was saying that even when Abraham broke the covenant, that he, God, would take the punishment upon himself. Here in the first book of the Bible, we have a clear picture of what happened on Good Friday. The grace of God is on display for all to see. God took upon himself the punishment we deserved. God never forgets his promises. The reason the Sunday after Easter spends so much time focusing on covenant is because it was upon Easter that all God's promises were fulfilled. It was the day upon which the new covenant was ratified. The final covenant was sealed by the blood of the Lamb. God took upon himself the penalty for our sin and for our forgetfulness. This covenant was planned since the beginning of time. It was announced most clearly by the prophet Jeremiah. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. This is the covenant I will make. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Jeremiah chapter 31. Just as God gave Noah the rainbow to help everyone remember his covenant to never destroy the earth again with a flood, so too, Jesus gave us the sacrament of the new covenant and communion in his body and blood poured out for us. It's a reminder that God took upon himself the punishment for our broken promises. I think that our inability to have communion during this season is so painful because it takes away our weekly reminder of the promises and provision of God. We're all too quick to forget the grace of God when we lose sight of his rainbow in the clouds. We must, in this season, strive to make communion even more precious in our hearts, even when we can't partake of the signs that he gave us to remember his love. In the end, the rainbow was only a sign. Holy Communion is only a sign of the new covenant. What's important is keeping the promise. What's important is remembering. We need not fear that God will hold up his end of the deal, that he'll keep his promises. His grace is such that he will take upon himself the punishment for our broken promises to him. The Father longs for the wedding feast of the Lamb. He longs for us to become the bride that his Son deserves. He longs to be our God and for us to be his people. Jesus has shown his love for us by laying down his life for us. May that love help us to become his bride. May it help us to remember.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, show your mercy upon us,
and grant us your salvation.
O Lord, guide those who govern us,
and lead us in the ways of justice and truth.
Clothe your ministers with righteousness,
and let your people sing with joy.
O Lord, save your people,
and bless your inheritance.
Give peace in our time, O Lord,
and defend us by your mighty power.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten,
nor the hope of the poor be taken away.
Create in us clean hearts, O God,
and take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O God, our King, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the first day of the week, you conquered sin, put death to flight, and gave us the hope of everlasting life. Redeem all our days by this victory. Forgive our sins. Banish our fears. Make us bold to praise you and to do your will. Instill us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Look mercifully, O Father, on our infirmities, and for the glory of your name, rescue us from all those evils we now endure. And grant that in all our troubles we may put our whole trust and confidence in your mercy, serving you in holiness and purity of life, to your honor and glory, through our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. At this time in the service, you may pause this recording to offer your own prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings, either silently or aloud. We continue saying together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to say thank you for all of you who made our strange Easter a special Easter for me and my family and for a lot of other people, too. We can really see signs of God's grace in the midst of a strange season. Again, I ask that you continue to pray and offer intercessions for one another on behalf of the world. Just a lot of things to pray for right now. Please reach out to the office if you need anything. Again, that offer still stands. Otherwise, we pray and hope to see you soon.